here in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts was what I suppose you'd call a heathen man. He was in charge of the treasure of the Queen of Ethiopia. But he had some spiritual or religious interest, for he'd been to Jerusalem to worship. And he had a copy of the Old Testament scriptures. Evidently was not satisfied with what he found in Jerusalem. On the way back from Jerusalem, going home through the desert, he was reading the book of Isaiah, studying, searching the scriptures. The Lord sent Philip, who was a deacon in the church, to minister to this man, and Philip joined himself to the chariot, walking alongside the chariot. This man was sitting up in the chariot reading Isaiah 53. He was reading that passage of scripture that talks about our Lord's crucifixion. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. Evidently was reading aloud. Anyway, Philip looked up at him and he said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" "No," he said, "I don't. I really don't. But how can I except somebody instruct me, somebody show me?" So Philip climbed up in the chariot and sat down beside him. And he began at that same scripture. And there could be no better scripture to preach the need of man, the inability of man, the gift of God's love, God's grace and mercy, and the gift of His Son. The substitutionary work of the Son of God on Calvary, bearing our sins, our guilt. As Brother Brown prayed a moment ago, "He who knew no sin was made sin for us, identified with us, became, as he said, one of us, numbered with the transgressors, bore our guilt and filth and shame on that cross and died in our place and in our stead." And evidently the eunuch was made to rejoice in that. It thrilled him. And evidently Philip also told him that people who believed on Christ and received Christ followed him in believers' baptism. They publicly identified themselves with his Savior. They publicly confessed their faith and confidence in the Savior. They publicly identified themselves with him in his sufferings and in his death and in his burial and in his resurrection by faith. And so they came to a large body of water as the caravan moved through the desert. Here was an oasis, evidently. Here was a body of water. And the eunuch said, "Well, here's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Now you listen to this statement. In verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest, if thou believest with thine heart, if thou believest with thine heart," that is the condition and the only condition. Not if you've grieved long enough, if you've been convicted long enough, if you've suffered long enough, if you've seen a vision, if you've had an experience, if you promised to hold out, if you promised to join the church, if you promised to serve God the rest of your life, if thou believest, Scripture says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath life." This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And these things are written to you that you might believe on the name of His Son. Turn with me to Mark chapter 9. Let me show you another illustration. Mark the 9th chapter, beginning reading with verse 17. Mark 9:17. "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Mark 9:17. Here you have the disease. The disease is there. The need is there. The trouble is there. "And wheresoever he taketh him," this dumb spirit, "he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. There you have the disease. Some type, some form of convulsion. Evidently the boy couldn't speak, a dumb spirit. A spirit that cast him about on the ground, and he foamed at the mouth and gnashed with his teeth. It gripped his whole being. The disease is there. Now what's the next line? And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. There you have inability, human inability demonstrated. Here's the disease, and here's the human inability. I can't do anything about it. I'm sure he'd had him to every physician in the whole area, and they couldn't do anything about it. And I took him to your disciples and the church and the pastor and the priest. They couldn't do anything about it. And our Lord answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. And they brought him to Christ. And when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked the Father, he said, how long is it ago since this came upon him? How long has this disease been upon him? And he said, since he was a child. From birth, born in sin. That's us, born in iniquity. The disease is there. It's been there a long time. It's from birth. We were shapen in iniquity, conceived in sin. And we've gone to the front of the church and the mourner's bench and the baptismal waters and the sacraments and the communion and the law and good works. We've tried all these physicians. We've tried all these human aids and human helps and human recipes and human plans, and none of them have worked. The preacher couldn't heal me, and the church couldn't heal me, and the sacraments couldn't heal me, and the law couldn't heal me. Lord, bring him to you. And oft times the Father said, it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe. Here's the disease. Here's the human inability demonstrated. Here's the need and the concern, and here's the Master, the one who can do it, no question about it. What stands between the boy and complete healing? What stands between the boy and complete salvation? What stands between the boy and complete deliverance? One thing. Faith. Can you believe? The Father, the Lord Jesus didn't ask the Father to give him all the money he had. He didn't ask the Father to sign a pledge card. He didn't ask the Father to dedicate his life to the ministry. He didn't ask the Father to vow that he would be a member of the church all the days of his life. He said, can you believe? Can you believe? That's what Philip said to the Ethiopian eunuch. What doth hinder me from being baptized? What doth hinder me from being identified with Christ? What doth hinder me from being a child of God? What doth hinder me from being a part of the kingdom? Do you believe? Do you believe? And here the Father stands there and looks upon his boy wallowing on the ground and evidently biting his tongue or swallowing his tongue and the foam running down his face. And, Master, help him! Help him! You can do it! I can't do it. The people, help him. You believe? All things are possible to him that believeth. Let me show you another one. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark the 5th chapter. Let's read beginning with verse 25. Mark 5:25. What I'm saying to you this morning is it all comes down to one thing. It all comes down to one question. Do you believe? That's the very heart of it. That's the very rock bottom of it. That is, as we say in today's language, the nitty-gritty of it. That's the very basis of it. Do you believe? In Mark chapter 5, verse 25, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's a long time. To hemorrhage and to bleed and to suffer. 12 years. Been a long time. It's a long period of suffering. And she had suffered many things of many physicians. She had tried Dr. Reform and Dr. Orthodoxy and Dr. Law and Dr. Do the Best You Can and Dr. Sacrament. She had tried all of them. And she had spent all she had. She had spent her time. She had spent her money. She had spent her effort. She had spent everything. And wasn't any better. Actually, she was worse. Brethren, when you have a spiritual disease, and when you have a spiritual darkness, and when you have a spiritual deadness, and when you're separated from God, when you go to the wrong physician, you don't get help, you get hurt. Well, it doesn't matter what church we go to or what we hear, just so we're sincere. It does matter, too. You can come off a lot worse off. Did you know that? A man with no refuge at all is better off than a man that's got a false refuge and thinks he's protected. And this woman was worse. She'd tried all these quacks, all these phony physicians, and she was not better. Actually, they had hurt her. They had hurt her. They had made her worse. Her disease was worse. These human hands reaching in upon this disease had actually made it worse. And when she heard of Jesus, and that's how people come in contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, to hear about Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? You're not going to have any salvation without the preaching of the gospel. A man's got to hear about Jesus. A man cannot trust an unrevealed Christ. He cannot trust a Christ he doesn't know, of whom he has not heard. And when she heard the gospel, when she heard the good news, the glad tidings, she came in the press behind him and just reached out and touched his garment. For she said, this is faith. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And the scripture says straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt strength and power. As Christ said, power's gone out of me into somebody. I felt it leave me. Who touched me? Look down at verse 33. The woman, fearing and trembling and knowing what was done in her, some great miracle had been performed, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. She said, I touched you. And the master said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. That's all. Thy faith. The disease was there. It had been there a long time. Human failure was evident. Human failure. Human failure had been demonstrated again and again and again. They had tried. They had worked on her. They hadn't helped her. They had made her worse. And finally, her faith brought her to the Master, and she reached out and touched the Lord. You can't touch Him with these hands now, but you can touch Him with the hand of faith. Reach out and touch the Lord while He passes by. You'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your need to supply. So, whatever it is, reach out and touch the Lord. The covenant of grace is just that. It's grace. The gift of God's love is just that. It's a gift. The gospel of mercy is just that. It's mercy. But this grace and this gift and this mercy can only be received by faith, no other way. The man who preaches the gospel for 50 years and pastors the greatest church in the world and sees multiplied thousands upon thousands of people come to Christ under his ministry, or the thief on the cross who in the dying hour, a dying moment of his life, reached out with faith to touch Christ, the minister who brings by his ministry through God's grace thousands to Christ gets into the kingdom of God the same way that thief got in, by faith. By faith. There can be no vital union with Christ except by faith. Take your Bibles and turn with me first of all to the book of Galatians. Let me show you something here. The importance of faith. Without faith, no union with Christ. It says in Galatians 3, verse 24. Listen. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith. By faith. By faith in Christ Jesus. Our Lord said life and resurrection is by faith. He said to Mary and to Martha, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. One of these days they're going to put you and me in the grave. Do you want out of that grave? You know how to get out of that grave? Believe. That's right. Do you want to know how? You say, I want to be one with Christ. I want to be vitally, intimately, personally united with Christ. I want to partake of Christ's glory and blessing. You get in Christ by faith. You don't get in Christ by faithfulness to the church. You don't get in Christ by faithfulness in giving. You don't get in Christ by faithfulness in morality. You get in Christ Jesus by faith in Him. Sanctification's by faith. They're sanctified by faith. Salvation's by faith. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We're justified by faith. The Scripture says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. You say, I want a perfect standing before God. I want a perfect holiness before God. I want a perfect record before God. You know how to get it? By faith. Believe. Believe. The Spirit is received by faith. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by faith? Perseverance is by faith. We're kept by the power of God through faith. That's what the Galatians thought. They thought what people think today, that you get in the kingdom of God by believing on Jesus Christ, and then the rest of the way is plug away, boy. Hold on for your dear life. Hope that you keep the faith. Hope that you stay in the church. We're kept by the power of God. Through faith. The crown of life is by faith. Paul says, I've kept the faith, therefore there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right, let me ask this question. What is faith? What is faith? I'm thoroughly convinced by these illustrations I've given you this morning. The Ethiopian eunuch riding along. I know the Spirit of God took Philip and put him there. And if He brought him there, He inspired His words. And He said to the Ethiopian eunuch, if you believe. That's it. And I know my Lord Jesus Christ, when He said to that centurion, that father of the dumb child and the wallowing, foaming child, when He said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. And He said to the woman who touched His garment, she belonged to nobody's church. She'd done, far as I know, no good deed. She came and touched Christ by faith. And He said, daughter, thy faith hath saved thee. It comes down to that one thing, faith. And all the way through the Bible, I find that union with Christ, life, resurrection, sanctification, salvation, justification, righteousness, the Holy Spirit, perseverance, and the crown of life, all by faith, and faith alone. The only condition is faith. The key that unlocks every door, the key that admits me into God's very presence, the key that makes me a child of God is faith. I got to find out what it is. All right, turn to Romans 10. Let's see what it is. Romans 10. Romans 10, 16 and 17. First of all, the very first and chief characteristic of faith is that it rests entirely and confidently on the Word of God. Now listen to it. Romans 10, 16. They have not all obeyed the gospel. That's for sure, isn't it? Most of them haven't obeyed the gospel, haven't received the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? They don't believe it. They believe their traditions. They believe their scientific findings. They believe these things, but they don't believe my report, my record. So then, this faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isaiah said these people haven't believed. You know why they haven't believed? Because they haven't received our record, our report. This is the record right here. This is my word. This God says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by receiving. Faith cometh by believing. Faith cometh by accepting His word. There's no other way for faith to come. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in the way of life. This is the record right here. Faith, the very chief characteristic of faith is that it accepts completely and wholly and entirely and confidently this Word right here.
And believes it. And believes it.
Noah, living in a day when the rain had never fallen, God watered the earth another way. Never had rain. Never had been a flood. Never had been a river overflow its banks. And God came to Noah and said, Noah, there's going to be a flood. My spirit shall not always strive with man. His days shall be 120 years. Now you build an ark. And you'll save yourself and your wife and your three sons and their wives. Your family shall be saved. So Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the salvation of his family. Upon what did Noah base his faith? Upon what was it built? What was the foundation of it? God told him something, and he believed it. And that's the only evidence. Christ said, no sign shall be given. Only the sign of Jonah and the fish. The Word of God. No sign shall be given. No evidence shall be given. You're going to believe the Word, or you're not going to believe at all. Moses said to Pharaoh and to the people of Egypt, God's going to send a grievous hail on this land. Thus saith the Lord. God's going to rain a grievous hail upon this land. Now, if you want your cattle and your workmen to live through it, to survive, then you bring them in and put them in the shelter, because it's going to come down a hail that will kill and destroy and break everything it hits. Now, the people who believed, the people who received the report, the Word of God, they brought in their cattle and they brought in their people, and they were saved. But those who did not receive it and those who did not believe it left them out and they died. Faith is just that plain and just that simple. It is based upon this book right here. It's not the visions I see. It's not the feelings that I have. It's not the argument of or wisdom of a man. Faith is based on this book right here. He hath said, so that we may boldly say. He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we can boldly say, the Lord is my shepherd. How do you know, preacher? He said so. Secondly, faith, the first characteristic of faith, is that it rests confidently and entirely and completely on this Word right here. That's the evidence of faith. That's the foundation of faith. That's the essence of faith. That's the reason for faith. Right? This book. And when you put a question mark upon this book, your faith is smashed. Your faith is gone. The foundation swept away. Secondly, faith has one object. Faith hath one object. He that believeth on the Son. He that believeth on the Son. Faith looks to Christ as very God of very God. Now, my friends, I have no doubt whatsoever about the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God incarnate. And my faith bows before the throne of Jesus Christ just as readily as it bows before the throne of God the Father. As far as I'm concerned, equal glory and equal honor and equal praise is due unto Christ as unto the Father. I have no trouble whatsoever. My faith bows before Jesus Christ as God, very God of very God, who was in the beginning with God, who was God, by whom all things were made. My faith looks to Christ not only as God, but my faith beholds Him as a man. It receives and believes His virgin birth, His incarnation. It receives and believes Him to be the King of heaven who became a man, who robed himself in the likeness of sinful flesh, who walked this earth in the flesh, barefooted, for 33.5 years, and endured every temptation that we are called upon to endure, yet without sin. My faith beholds his perfect righteousness in the flesh. The God-man obeyed the law, obeyed the Father with a perfect righteousness without flaw. My faith looks upon him as the substitute. And here's the peak of the whole message. The one on that cross is not a martyr. He's not an example. He's not a superstar. He's the Lord of glory who died the designed death for designed people at the designed time. He was victorious. He knew where he came from. He knew what he came to do. He knew where he was going every moment of the day. He was the king when he was created this world. He was the king when he was in the virgin's womb. He was the king when he was walking the shores of Galilee. And he was the king on that cross. He never ceased to be the king. He was the king in the tomb, and he's the king at the right hand of the Father. And faith that cannot look upon Christ as God, as man, as a perfect righteousness, as a substitute, and now as a high priest is not faith at all. You say, where do you learn all this about Christ? Right here. You don't learn it walking through the woods looking at the stars. You don't learn it walking through the park admiring the animals. You learn it. That's the reason I said the very essence of faith and foundation of faith is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Here's where you learn it, right here. And faith looks upon Christ as our high priest who hath entered into the Holy of Holies to obtain eternal redemption for us. That's the only faith that saves. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. No man can bypass Christ and get to heaven. No man can bypass Christ and get to glory. No man can bypass Christ and get to the Father. Now watch it. And no man can bypass the cross and get to Christ. There is no relationship with the Father apart from the Son. And there is no relationship with the Son apart from the cross. And people can today can talk about Jesus this and Jesus that and Jesus the example and Jesus the peacemaker and Jesus the teacher. It's Christ the substitute that saves. And you take out of the cross its offense. You take out of the cross its ransom. You take out of the cross its payment for sin. You take out of the cross its shame. And you take out of the cross its power. That's right. No way to heaven without going to God. And there's no way to God without going to the Son. And there's no way to the Son without going to the cross. That's right. And ain't no way getting to the cross without recognizing you're a sinner. And human nature can't save you. And human instruments can't save you. And human morality can't save you, and human organizations can't save you, and you come as a helpless sinner in my hands, no price I bring, simply to the cross of Christ I cling. I used to wonder what old man Shelton meant when he said, if you miss Holy Spirit conviction, you'll miss repentance, and if you miss repentance, you'll miss faith, and if you miss faith, you'll miss Christ, and if you miss Christ, you'll miss heaven. It all starts back there as a broken, guilty, wretched, helpless sinner. You come to Christ of the cross, and the Christ of the cross introduces you to the Heavenly Father. Now, Romans chapter 10. I want to show you something else. Faith, first of all, here's the basis of it, right here. The Word of God. I believe because God says. Secondly, faith's always in a person. Always in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It beholds him in all his office work, in all of his glory, in his sacred person, in his work as substitute, as high priest. Now then, but faith is a definite attitude of heart, and it's an act of the will. It's an act of the will. And nobody in here believes more than I do about who makes people willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And I emphasize the power, whose power it is. But now, did you ever notice the first part of that verse, though? Thy people shall be willing. It takes thy power, but they're willing. They are willing. What did Philip say to that eunuch? If thou believest with all thine heart. That's right, your heart. Your heart. The Holy Spirit's not going to believe for me. He enables me to believe. The Holy Spirit's not going to confess Christ for me. He reveals Christ to me. The Holy Spirit is not going to walk on this earth for me. He's going to enable me to walk on this earth. God gave Noah instructions about the ark, and he built the ark, and there he was standing outside, and the door was open. Here was the ark. And God said, Noah, come in. Come in. He didn't pick him up with the hair of the head and put him in. He didn't get behind him and drive him in. He said, come on in. And who came in? Noah came in. Noah came in willingly. Noah came in because he wanted to. Noah came in, and the people who stayed out because they wanted to stay out. They didn't believe the ark. They didn't believe the rain. They didn't believe God. Noah did. And because he believed those things, he came in. And it says here in Romans 10, look at it. Verse 9, if thou shalt confess with whose mouth? Let the preacher do it for you. Let the Holy Spirit do it for you. Let the doctrine of election do it for you. No, sir. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and shall believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, his own heart, the heart given him by God, the heart that's been operated on by the Holy Spirit, the heart that is the new nature in grace, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hold that right there and turn to Acts chapter 2. Now watch this. Peter preached at Pentecost. And here were wicked sinners, guilty sinners, Christ-hating sinners, Christ-crucifying sinners. And Peter preached to them. And it says in verse 37, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. Who did it? The Spirit of God. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? I'm guilty. What shall we do? And Peter said, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you. Every one of you. Confess Christ. Believe on Christ. Look to Christ. Receive Christ. Make a public identification with Christ. Now let me show you something. If a man is made a judge, this man that was recently made a judge in town, Judge Imes resigned after 38 years, and they made a new man the judge. They're going to bring him in a public ceremony over which Judge Imes himself will officiate. That man is going to be the judge. He'll raise his right hand, and he'll promise publicly in a public ceremony to uphold the law. He's identifying himself with that office. He's taking upon himself that responsibility, and he's making a public declaration of what he intends to do. There are young people here who are going to get married. They're going to come down this aisle and stand before me, and I'm going to read some vows. Do you promise this? Do you promise that? And they're going to say before God and these witnesses, I promise. I take these vows upon myself. I promise to be identified with this person. A degree is conferred down here in the university, Marshall University, upon a man who's been studying through the years. They're going to give him a BA or a BS or a PhD or some other degree, and it's done in a public ceremony. That college confers upon that man a degree, and that college identifies itself publicly with that man. He's carrying our stamp of approval. They don't do it in secret. They do it in public. A child is adopted in a family. Somebody here has no children in your family, and you decide to adopt a child. You go down to the adoption agency, and they fill out some papers, and they stand you in front of a judge. And you promise publicly, not back in the closet, publicly, that you'll take that child into your home, and you'll be a father and mother to that child, and that child will always be yours before the whole world. If you buy a piece of ground, you're going to build a house. You buy a piece of ground. They survey that piece of ground. They write down the measurements and everything. And right down here in the courthouse, you go down and pay a certain amount of money, and that piece of ground is publicly and legally on an official document turned over to you. You better not do it in private either, because there may be a question on it later on. You can't do it. It's got to be public. Now, in all of these things, there's public identification. There's a public declaration. We do it in all things. And yet people expect me to believe that you can hear the glorious, grand gospel of redemption. How that Christ died for sinners and made us by His death and by His resurrection and by His sacrifice children of God, adopted us into the family of God. We're now in the army of the King. We're now part of the kingdom of God. And we sneak in there without any oath, without any vow, without any promise, without any public declaration, without any committal. We're just members of Christ out hunting rabbits in the backfield. You're full of baloney. Now, you don't get into the kingdom of God that way. No, sirree. Christ said, if thou shalt confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father which is in heaven. Peter said to that bunch at Pentecost, repent and be baptized right down here in this river. Confessing before Caesar and Pilate and Herod and all the rest of them that Christ who died on the cross is your King. If thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, thou shalt be saved. But you're not coming in any other way. So faith, first of all, is based on this book. I believe the Word of God. I believe the witness of God. My faith, its object, its singular object, its sole object is Christ. God, man, substitute, high priest, redeemer, king. And my faith is going out over the airwaves. My identification with Christ is going to be made public in that pool, showing His death, burial, and resurrection. I'm not going to bypass the cross. I'm going to say to everybody, yes, I believe Christ is my King and my Lord, but He's my King and my Lord. He became Lord by His death. He became Lord by His death. By His death, He purchased me. And I'm not bypassing it. I'm starting right where you're supposed to start, at the cross, at the death, burial, and resurrection. I want everybody to know I'm going to be identified with His people, with His church. Sure, they have their spots. They have their failures. But I do too. But Christ receiveth sinful men. He's the friend of sinners. And I'm going to be identified with them. I want the world to know. Have you done that? It's a committal. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Don, you lead us in a closing hymn. And while we sing this closing hymn, if there's somebody here who has heard this gospel and you wish to take this opportunity to publicly identify yourself with Christ, present yourself for baptism, membership in this church, we'll ask you to come forward at this time. What number? 165. We have a man visiting with us this morning I've known for a long, long, long time, Brother Clyde Stevens. Clyde, will you dismiss us in prayer, please, at this time?